Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. This is Charlene. Welcome to Grace Multiplied, a mature persuasion podcast. If it's your first time coming to this podcast, welcome. We welcome you. We are so glad to have you here. If you are returning, if you've been to this podcast before, welcome back. You are wise. We just want to say welcome here. Just to give you a little bit of information about what we believe here and what you can expect whenever you come to this podcast. Whenever you come here, you can always expect a word of encouragement, because we believe that everyone needs a word of encouragement at some point in their life. So that's what we do. That's our lane. Now, everything we do here, we believe in God. We believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we base everything we share here on the written word of God. Now, a couple things I want to say. If you can press past this salutation, just stay with the salutation. I believe you're going to receive a blessing, because we're about a higher quality of life here. We want to live a very high quality of life. We are about living a good life here. So we're going to share with you things that we've experienced. Now, we're not going to be telling you about the things that someone told us. We're going to be sharing, or I'm going to be sharing, things with you that I have personally experienced. I'm walking through my seventh decade and looking into my eighth decade. So that means I've been around a while. I've seen some things. I can make some comparisons. I can determine what works for me and what doesn't. And I have found that works for me is just understanding God's word. I believe in God, and believing in God works for me 100%. Now, there's a tool that I use. It's called BibleGateway.com. I recommend it to everyone. It's a website that you can visit. Again, that's BibleGateway.com. It's a website that you can visit, and it has a number of translations of the Bible. And now they even have an audible section that they'll read the Bible to you if reading is not your strongest suit. But it's just wonderful. It's wonderful. So you can visit it. It was free the last time I used it. I used it earlier today, and you can... It was free, and you can use it too. And I promise, if you just visit that, because I suggest and recommend that everyone read the Bible for themselves. And once you start to read the Bible and you learn how to use the Bible, and I'm going to tell you more about this in this particular podcast today, why it's so important, you will find that you'll be blessed. Now, if you want to contact me, we have an email address. It's gracemultiplied1015@gmail.com. Again, that's gracemultiplied1015@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you, because, you know, we can use a word of encouragement too. And it encourages us when we know who's listening, and you can share information. We're sharing what we believe has worked for us. And if you've got something that's worked for you, that you believe will improve our quality of life, we want you to share it here. I want to hear from you. So that's how you can do that. Now, in seeking the Lord to find out what I should share with you this week, because this is the close of the day today, I had an opportunity earlier today to fellowship, to go to a wonderful Bible class, because I break bread. It talks about in the Bible how the apostles' doctrine, which is the one I practice, they broke bread from house to house, and they ate their bread with gladness, and they just shared with each other. And it was just wonderful. And breaking bread is not necessarily just to eat a meal, but there's a place in the Bible that lets us know that the word of God is bread. It's bread. It's substance. It is. It is. When you take communion, the wafer that you use, the bread that represents the body of Christ, it's a bread. And if you take it and you use the actual bread, you know, the flat bread that has the perforation and has the, it looks, some of it looks a little scorched or burnt. It that represents the body of Christ and what he suffered for us. The perforations, how they pierced him in the side, and the part that looks burnt, how the wrath of God consumed the body of Christ, and so on and so forth. And if you have more questions, feel free. You know, you can write and give me your email address, and we'll communicate and set something up. And if you need prayer or need to talk with me, we can work that out, because I'm about the high quality of life. So I'm just sharing these things with you so that if you can press past, this is still the salutation. I know it seems like I'm getting a little more long-winded, but certain things have to be said, and I can't say it all, you know, in just one episode of the podcast. So do go to the library of the podcast and look at the titles and read the description. They build on each other. And then if you got more information, questions, just, you know, let me know, email me, and we can set something up. Again, now what I believe I'm supposed to share with you this week is how God is the possessor of life. He possesses life. In the scripture, in the word of God, it lets us know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I know science has its place. There are many things that science can tell you about, but there are many questions that science can't answer for you. So if you really want to know, if you want a true revelation, as I said, you're going to have to seek the Lord for yourself. And I suggest you read the word of God for yourself, because I went to a wonderful Bible class or Sunday school class this morning, and it was just wonderful. It really allowed me to see why it's so good to know who God is for myself. Because I prayed before I went. I always pray before I go places and pray for the people that I'm going to meet. And, you know, just, you know, what they call bind and loose. You learn how to do that. Those are tools and skills that we can develop after we learn things from the word of God. And just pray for everybody that's going to be there. Bind anything that's not like the Lord. Loose a spirit of agreement. So on and so on and so forth. And one of the things I prayed, because, you know, you don't have to agree with just every word that the teacher is speaking, because even the Bible themselves, each Bible is a translation. God spoke, he inspired the writer, but he used the writer's personality. He didn't change how the writer felt. He just inspired the writer, and the writer wrote what he believed God revealed to them. So even now, I listen to certain things on YouTube, and I listen to certain things people say and how they go back and forth, and I comment if I'm led and only if I'm led. And I have gotten to a point that, you know, I don't find it necessary to try to, everybody has a right to their opinion. We all have free will of choice. I just want to always err on the side of what God says. If I'm going to make a mistake, as David said, he was a great king in the Bible. When he made a mistake and the prophet came to him and told him that God was going to, you know, that God knew and how did he want to receive whatever it was he was going to get as a repercussion, David said, let me fall into the hands of God. So if I'm going to err on anything, I'm going to err just based on submitting to what God says. I want to see how God allowed it to come out and, you know, submit. He said, if I submit to what he wrote, you know, that the enemy would flee from me. He said his words are life to those that find them. Now, if he is a possessor of life, he lets us know in his word that he created everything, that he created mankind from the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life in him. And for you scientists, if you just really study what our chemical makeup is, you know, you find that we have a lot of things in common with the dust. We do, the chemical makeup. But the breath of life, that breath that's in you, that life comes from God. He possesses that. He's breathed life into us. When we wake every morning, First of all, let me say this. If you just go through the library of this podcast, you'll find out how he sustains us, how we live in him. Just different ones. Just go through and listen to the ones that, you know, reach out and speak to you so that you can understand more and more. But he wrote, and he can't lie. His word is immutable. No one can reverse it. And if I'm going to make a mistake, I'd rather have something and not need it than to find out I need it and can't get to it. Ain't got it. It's just like the 10 foolish virgins who was just goofing off all their time because they was told to prepare that there was going to come a time when the bridegroom was coming, the virgins, okay? And they was going to have to go out to meet him. And, you know, they didn't know when because there's another scripture that lets us know it's not for us to know the times and the seasons when these things will happen. But as God lets us live, he has said he would never leave or forsake us. He'd be with us always. And what I found out in the Sunday school this morning is how miserable it can be. Ooh, do you know that it's a privilege to be able to even approach God? Especially approach God and live. I almost gave you a scripture. There was an Old Testament prophet. When the people came to him because they finally decided, these are the Israelites. When they came to the prophet, they finally decided that I guess things was just going so bad. You know how situation can happen in your life and stuff start going on and you have to see God. I've heard there are no atheists in foxholes. None. Because when you get that close to that life being called back, you know, you get real. And if he possesses life, that means he owns life. We are his property. We're God's property. He created us. Scripture backs that up. He tells us how he formed us from the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life in us. Mankind rebelled against God. It's written in his word. If you go in the Old Testament, those first five books, which is the books of the law, oh my God, some of it's encouraging, but I tell you the truth. When you read it and then you go further out to some of his Old Testament prophets, the ones like Ezekiel especially, you find out what it's like when you cannot approach God. Hallelujah. That's why he tells us to seek him while he may be found and to call on him while he's near. Because number one, his heart toward us is good, always, only good, never evil. He wants us to live in peace. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, yes, he said in his word that he's given us all things richly to enjoy, but he don't want you to get caught up in wealth. He don't want you to think that wealth is the only way to live. Because he said our life is not found in the abundance of things. It doesn't matter how much you own. The quality of your life is established based on your relationship with God, actually. I'll tell you the truth. That's why I seek his word. I want to find out. He said in another place in his word that his word is life to those. His words are life to those that find them. So when you find God's word, you're going to find out how to live. He gives you a choice, though. You know, he's not going to force you. Hallelujah. He's not going to. But if you really study his word, then that's where most folks are scared. You know, they're scared of going to hell. And rightfully so, if you ain't never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because according to what I've read, can't nothing keep you. You know, you can't miss that place if you won't receive what he's prepared for you to avoid that place. Now, I heard a Sunday school teacher say this morning, who I respect very much, oh, and goodness, I prayed before I even saw her. I prayed the Lord would allow her to have more light in his words. You know how some people are set up in tradition? I suggest examine your life. Tradition, the word of God says, a tradition of mankind will cause the word of God to be of none effect. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The word of God will never be of none effect because God's word is his word. Hallelujah. He says it's immutable. It's irreversible. He said he watches over his word to perform it. So can't nobody change it. But he wants us to trust his word. He says in another place that he magnified his word above his name. Now, let me tell you something. In the Old Testament, with the Israelites, God's chosen people, he was so angry with them at times. I tell you the truth. He was so angry and he wanted to destroy them. But so when you understand even more when he says he magnified his word above his name, when you really understand what it means to God for his people to be able to trust him, how he not going to let you besmirch his word. The only reason why he didn't destroy the children of Israel on more than one occasion, from what I think I understand, is because he's God and the heathens was looking on. See, believe it or not, heathen people who sit back and laugh at us, the people of God, for practicing and trying to find out more about God, they laugh at us. Yes, they do. But, you know, they flaunt in your face what they have sometimes and what you don't have and try to make you feel less than and try to make you feel like they in control and this, that, and everything. I want you to know God laughs at the wicked. He laughs at them. He says he does in his word. He said, because he know their day is coming. God is serious about his people. He loves us. He possesses life. But he told us our life is not found in the abundance of things. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's reaching out to us now. He said, you know, call on him while he's near. He don't want us to think that nobody can do anything more for us than he can. And he will prove it to you if you will let him. He will prove it to you. He has a standard, though. He has an order, a way that he wants us to approach him. And there's only one way you can approach him. He possesses life. He wants us to talk to him. He does. The main thing he wants us to do is offer him the sacrifice of praise, to be grateful for what he does, to learn to appreciate life, to learn that it comes from him. He wants us to enjoy life. It's nothing wrong with having things. If you want something, go to God. Tell him what you want. Write out what you want. Go to God. Ask him for it. But let him show you how to get it. Hallelujah. And the one thing he always reminded, he said, all these things are already done. But when you get them, don't forget who God is. Hallelujah. Don't forget God. God's favor is on our lives. Hallelujah. When we do that one thing that's necessary, that's receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, ask him to teach us, and then lean in and listen carefully to what he's saying and submit to him, he'll do it. He's a possessor of life. He owns life. We are his property, whether we want to accept it or not. He has absolute rule, but he gives us a choice. A choice to trust him, a choice to seek him while he may be found, a choice to call on him while he's near. Find his word and live. God loves you. I want to hear from you. I hope I've said something that'll help you. Amen.